out of the darkness by the former Leicester and Sunderland winger Matt Piper. Matt, of course, his place in the annals of Leicester City history is that he scored the last goal at Filbert Street, I believe, against Mylock, if I remember rightly. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, chaps. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, it's an interesting book. It's quite a harrowing read at times because you go to some pretty dark places, but there's some light and shade. There's some tales of your days as a footballer and some funny stories as well. So you kind of lighten the mood at times, don't you?
Yeah, I sort of had to lighten the mood. You know, when we were doing the book and we was going through it, and it was just terrible story after terrible story. you know, a real, you know, out of the darkness, the book is called, obviously. So some real dark places that I went through in my career. So we had to sprinkle it with a little bit of positivity, some of those funny football stories. But I don't think it's your typical autobiography from a footballer.
No.
I think we can safely say that. But it was a real cathartic experience for me, something that when Joe, the writer of the book, he's actually deputy editor of 442, and I did an article with him about a year or so ago. And it went quite well, and a lot of people read it and sort of found some solace in it. And he came to me and he said, "What do you think about a book?" And I honestly, chaps, I know probably a lot of people say this, but I sort of laughed him out the building when he said it. Because, as you know, I've not played many games. I managed to score that last goal at Filbert Street against your lot, as you say, Tottenham, which was a brilliant moment in my career. But it was probably one of the only highlights of a short career. So, you know, doing the book, it's been really special. And I get to come on people's shows like you, I listen to all the time. So
the thing is, there's you say it's not a typical footballer's book. There's a lot of common themes in there that I think a lot of players can relate to. And also, you didn't play a lot of games through no fault of your own. Your injury-ravaged career, and you could never really get a run going. You're a highly rated player, England under 21, but for injury, it could have been very different. And I wonder if that maybe did the frustration of that contributed to what happened after football, because you won't be the first footballer really to have struggled with life after football. But as you said, it took you to maybe some darker places than it does other players. I mean, you know, to near suicide, to drinking, to, you know, taking stuff that was taking Valium, etc. It really affected your life in a bad way, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it is a common theme. I think a lot of players, even those that have a long, vibrant, successful career, you know, when they get to the end of it, it's sort of what is now? Mm. What is next? And I don't think enough players, you know, talk about that or are open about it. And I can see why, because it's very difficult to sort of ask for that help or support after you've had a football career. But that was my biggest problem. It was not knowing what to do next. Yes, of course, the first 6 months to a year after it was all over, you are feeling a little sorry for yourself, and because it's something you've been dreaming of doing since you're a little boy. So when it's over, that is gutting. But the really place that drove me to the darkness was not knowing what was next. And you can only really identify as a footballer and you feel like there's no way forward. And that was the case at the time for me.
Yeah,
I think we're learning more and more now what it takes to be a professional footballer, how difficult it can be. And I think maybe some people still think this, that the big wages, the money solves everything, but it doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's taken me a long time. I mean, I founded a football academy that I've been running now for 3 years, and it gave me purpose again. It gave me, and for me, that is the hugest thing that I need to strive for in my life, to keep me on a pathway, to keep moving forward. And when football was over, because obviously football was my purpose from the age of 7 or 8 through till I was 24 when I had to quit. And then purpose was gone from my life. So I understand now the importance of having a purpose, and it keeps you on that pathway and keeps you moving forward.
You thank the PFA in the book for, I mean, they paid for your time at Sporting Chance that kind of helped you a great deal. And we know through speaking to people from the PFA, they have a great many courses they set up for players contemplating a life after football. But I sort of sense you feel there's more they could do in that transition for players, knowing that that initial period when you have to stop playing is so difficult that you'd like to see maybe a bit more being done.
Yeah, I think it is difficult, but I think it's also difficult for the PFA. And, you know, what they did for me over the years, they didn't just pay for my time at Sporting Chance. They put me on coaching courses. They paid for them and helped support with them. They paid for operations that I had post-football career. So I've only got good things to say about the PFA. Yeah. I just think when we're looking at it, that there's an element and an area, I think, when players are finished, where a supportive network could be there from the start. Now, I know, talking as a civilian as I am nowadays, that a lot of people might be listening to the radio show, hearing me talk like this and think, wow, footballers have got everything. They've got the money, the cars, the houses. Why should they get more support? But I think it is a real delicate area where we have to try and put some supportive mechanisms in there for those who may struggle after a football career, because it can, as I know, take you to some dark places.
Yeah.
Sporting Chance are an amazing organisation. They've helped you. They've helped a lot of people, haven't they? So how did you get in touch with them in the first place?
It was my mum. She was sort of the only one left towards the end. My dad didn't really know how to deal with it. My brother was very similar. Supportive, but more from a distance. So when the addiction took hold, the drinking, the suicide attempts, you know, the only one left really was my mum and my dog. So parties in my living room with my boxer dog, God bless him, he's passed on now. But yeah, my mum got in touch with Sporting Chance. Sporting Chance is run by, obviously, Tony Adams. He's the founder of it, and it literally did save my life. It helped me find that purpose again, which was so important for moving forward.
If there's any players listening today maybe facing that transition very soon and worried about it, are you there for them? Are you happy to chat to them, Matt?
Yeah, I'm an open book, and I'm there for anyone that reaches out, not just ex-footballers, you know, anyone going through a struggle. I've opened my DMs up on social media. A lot of people advise me against it, but as in doing the book, if I can help anyone in some small way to see that there is hope at the end of a difficult journey, then I will do.
And as we said, there's some funny stories in there as well, your days at Leicester City and tales of working under Martin O'Neill and Peter Taylor, and some fun stories at the expense of Robbie Savage, where you used to make sure the sprinklers always managed to fill his open top sports car with water while you were training.
Oh, you read that one?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
any time Sav gets a few funny stories said about him at his expense, it's always a good thing. He's a great lad, but you know, I had to share some of them stories.
Yeah, and you do media work now, don't you? Up in Leicester,
around Leicester,
and so you're kind of keeping busy, and life's good now.
Yeah, it's getting there for healthy kids. I'm healthy myself. Got a lovely wife, a football academy, as I said, that helps inner city kids try and find their purpose in life, and do a little bit on the radio for the Leicester games, the local radio station. So
excellent,
all is good.
And Liam Dacey, who alerted us to your book the other week, I know you know Liam, he's a big TalkSport listener. You're involved in the Memphis charity with him as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm an ambassador for that incredible charity that helps disabled and young children around Leicester and Leicestershire, which is, you know, super positive. And Liam has been, you know, a shining light for me over the years, and sort of tracking what he does and learning things from him. So I think that's the aim of the book, is to say there is hope if you're in a dark place, but also never stop learning and always keep trying to grow and move forward.
Well, it's good to hear life's better now, Matt. Good to talk to you. All the very best for the book. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, chaps. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.